is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Lance is here till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. Man, we got a lot to talk. What a great football weekend. Well, I don't know about great football, but it was a football weekend that was, I guess, it would have...
Okay. Just say what a football weekend with football.
Yeah, it was a football weekend. So let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Do you feel better a week ago than you feel today?
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
After a loss, I feel better than this.
Yes,
game.
Yes. I felt much better about the team. This is almost identical to last year's team. I mean, talk about no left tackle, no quarterback, their best pass rusher is out, their second best corner is out, and who is kind of a big deal in A.J. Bouye. But they lost their quarterback in week one, and they're starting a first ever rookie at quarterback, and they can't...
Well, those guys mess over the Texans every... John, historically,
And that's exactly the point. And they can't stop him in the final minute? Are you kidding me? You're going to let Gardner Minshew drive down the field and potentially beat you in the last minute? I had a little pushback on my... I mean, lost in all of Bill O'Brien's play clock blunders is the that Rack gave up another last-minute drive to potentially lose a game.
They were a two-point conversion away from getting beat on the road by a guy with a disco suit and a mustache who's a rookie from Washington
State. I loved his outfit coming out off the plane. I don't know if I like Cam's.
I thought it was hazy.
Was Cam's babush? I think it, no, but it wasn't, though.
No, it's not. And I'll tell you why. I thought this has got to be a hazing. Because, honestly, who wears something like that as a rookie? Like,
in your first start.
Yeah, that's way over the top for a rook. It's almost like, rook, slow down. Act like, you know, do something first. But then when I wanted to see, I was like almost sure it was hazing, like a hazing thing. So I just, all I Googled was Gardner Minshew disco suit. And it popped up, and there's a picture where his sister's talking about it in the bowl game last year in 2018 in San Antonio. It's the exact same suit. So clearly, either they made him wear his suit from there, they had a picture of it, or that's just Gardner's swag suit. He's just like, this is what I'm about to swag on somebody.
Speaking of his sister, Del, did you shoot your shot with his sister?
Why would I do that?
I don't know. Did you see her?
No, I didn't see her.
Well, they showed her like 100 times on TV.
Oh, well.
You didn't see her?
I must have been falling asleep.
Well, she was in town. I was wondering
Texans,
if you shot your shot.
No,
that's
I
all.
Don't shoot my shot at women just because they happen to appear on my television screen.
Well, I'm just asking. That's
that'd
all.
Be like, hey, why don't you shoot your shot at the girl in Law & Order? What's the difference?
Well, why don't you?
I don't.
Well, she's older now. Did you see her?
I didn't. They always refresh those women.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But is Law & Order still on? They making new ones now?
At least SVU is still on, right?
Oh, yeah, SVU
is. I don't know.
Anyway, I just asked if you shot your shot. That's
no,
all.
No, and I said no, I did not.
Okay.
So another young quarterback who, and you're right, Rack's defense, and really J. Joe has really, this is really, every time a big catch is made, I'm like, probably 24.
And even Kenny Lofton, who, by the way, James Lofton, who...
James is usually good, at least on radio.
Wow, he had... I mean, some of the stuff that he was... Well, he came
I was at the game, so I didn't see
He came out second half. He said, so, you know, the Texans, they deferred. This should be... And they had all a halftime to get ready for this. This should be their best drive of the game. Off fumble, a handoff, a potential handoff, ball off of knee, a minus 20-yard drive. Congrats. That was good. That was a good prediction.
You're going to blame Lofton for their net?
No, I'm not blaming Lofton for that. I'm just saying, know the Texans. Know your team, okay? Boy, that was a blunder. That was just, oh, my God. You had 12 minutes of halftime to get ready, then do that? That was terrible. But J-Jo, good Lord, every last drive, he's 10 yards off the ball and two completions right in front of him on the sideline.
So J-Jo has lost speed, and here's how you know. He's never been a press corner, but J-Jo's so far off right now that he knows he's slower. Because J-Jo's always been the faster one who's always covered the faster guys, you know, because Kareem wasn't. He now knows that he thinks he's slow now because now he is 8 to 10 off. Even and Lonnie Johnson, so what the Texans did was rookie Lonnie Johnson would come in on nickel packages, play outside, and they bumped Bradley Roby inside to nickel, which is what he did in Denver. And so that's going to, moving forward, you're going to see a lot more of the rookie Lonnie Johnson, which makes sense, second rounder. But Lonnie is a straight press corner. Mm. That's all he's going to do. He's not an off corner. He's a press corner. He's going to be in your face. It's so weird to see J-Jo like, yeah, you're good over there. I'm just gonna give about a 12-yard cushion here. Don't mind me. And then still giving up catches.
With 6 seconds left.
Chark made some good catches.
Chark did make some good catches. A couple of balls that he's turning into a good receiver. So goodness gracious. Again, and that was it was almost identical to the Bills game last year, to the Cowboys game last year.
Just late game, like you win and you leave there like, God, what is this?
You feel icky. I mean, you just, you're like, oh my God, that was a
football. Because you were clearly better than, I mean, you gave up a 4th and 17, I think it's 4th and 17, to Gardner.
Mentioned. It was 4th and long. I don't know if it was 17, but yeah.
It's 4th and, was it 4th and 10 or was there a 3rd and 17? I just knew that every time you had them in long distance situations, they were picking up 17 and 19 a pop. That's what I know. Whether it was Leonard Fournette on a pass play or, you know, Gardner Minshew scrambling out. But, yeah, defensively, the good thing was Whitney Mercilus had another good game. Another good game for Whitney. 3 strip sacks for the defense. One of them, they got a touchdown. Deshaun was not good.
No. He said he played. He played okay. He said, I played it. Fair. What did he say? What was his quote?
Fair is okay.
No.
Decent?
Decent. He said I played decent.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Hey, it was a nice touch. In short yardage, it's now to the point where I just don't trust them around the goal line for them to do anything effectively unless the quarterback's running.
My question is,
4th and short, how did they get their touchdown against the Saints? You had to have Deshaun take off. How do you have to get it this time in 4th and short? No. You had to have Deshaun take off.
Well, you got that weapon, though, so, I mean, use it. And I what I don't get is Jacksonville's reliance on Leonard Fournette. My goodness, he has lost some weight, but trying to. First of all, the game should have been over since he didn't get that first down at about the 30-yard line. Bill O'Brien, I thought that was a good challenge by Bill O'Brien. Finally, he had a good challenge. Although he lost the challenge, I thought it was a really good challenge. This is how you use your challenges, because if he doesn't make that first down, the game is over. And I didn't think he made it, but the refs have to give it to him because they ruled that he had made the first down. So I thought that was a really good challenge by Bill O'Brien at the 2-minute warning. But at the goal line, on the 2-point conversion, that's your play when Gardner Minshew. Now, it's Gardner Minshew. I know that. It's his first start, and he's Gardner Minshew. But good Lord, the kid made play after play after play to get you into this position.
You know, the option to run or pass. Yeah, I was. And we're talking like a lead handoff in between the guards.
Yeah.
Like, this is. I guess Doug Marrone is just going old school coach. Shortest distance between 2 points is straight line. Okay. I guess that's what we're going with here. And boy, it got close. Justin Reed, just a manly play against the big old running back.
That was a huge play.
But Fournette's carrying a train on his back. I mean, he is just looks so slow now to the hole.
I'll tell you this. I don't know. I'm glad we didn't find out how fast he was, because now Gardner Minshew played a good game, and he played a really good game last week in which he was 22 of 25. And so that gave them some hope. He missed 2 plays. He had an in-between. He had I think it was Chark running up the sideline that he just missed him. And then he missed
Chark when he beat Lonnie Johnson.
And he missed a screen to, well, not a screen, but a A swing pass. A swing pass. Well, it was more of a – it was so short, it was more of a swing pass.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, and he had Leonard Fournette running up the sideline. Good Lord, how long would he have run if he hits him on that? If Gardner Minshew, who is – how accurate? I mean, isn't
he's
that
an
what –
an accurate quarterback.
That's, that's what Leach told you about him,
right? 88%, 87 last week.
But Leach told you he's one of his most accurate quarterbacks
most
ever.
Most accurate quarterbacks he's had.
Yeah, so – for him to miss those two passes, listen, that was a game that Jacksonville easily could have won. I mean, good Lord, guys, are you kidding? Okay, we're going to get into this. Obviously, this is something, and I don't know if you've listened to any other radio anywhere. I haven't. I haven't listened to anything else, but I would imagine this is the main topic of conversation. But this quote, the quote by Bill O'Brien afterwards, is another one of his, that's not my job. That the last year or the year, what was it, year before the Patriots game, that's not my job, when he didn't call timeout.
He steps in it a lot. He really steps in it a lot.
He left so much time on the field on that last minute first half drive that it was freaking maddening. It was maddening watching these guys, watching them, that he and Deshaun, and I'm putting this on Deshaun as well, because as a quarterback, you know, I didn't play, obviously, at this level, but I played. And you've got to have a clock in your head. First, you've got to have a clock in your head on the pocket. Secondly, you have to have a clock on the play clock. Because when it gets close, any quarterback who lets the play clock run down, to me, it's always on him. Because you have to know, we're getting close. Come on, guys. We got to move, because we're getting close to that play clock running out. And then 2-minute drive clock. You have to have that in your head as well. What do you do in situations when the clock is still running, when you have timeouts, or when you don't have timeouts? What do you do? And Deshaun just doesn't have it.
I don't know if people have forgotten this, but this has been a running issue now for year three with Deshaun. He doesn't expedite the hurry up to the line and get into the play. It is a long, long delay relative to what the rest of the veteran quarterbacks do. It takes forever for Deshaun to get into the play or get it spiked or whatever. And then and that's not good, but it's made even worse when you have a fact that Bill O'Brien is maybe the worst I've ever seen at clock management, at an understanding time at the end of a half. No, maybe the worst I've ever seen.
I don't think that's an exaggeration. We got that on the other side. We'll hear his quote, and we'll talk about it. And if you want to get in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776.
Men's T Clinic is here to make sure that you can be doing what you need to do on a weekday, the weekend, anytime. You know, that I talk about quality of life, and I experience this firsthand. When you first get tested at Men's T Clinic to find out where your testosterone is, when you are low, it's going to actually make you feel happy, because you're going to say, okay, now I know what the problem is. Now I know why I haven't had any energy. Now I know why maybe it is that, you know, I feel like a couch potato, or I am not getting the same results from my workouts, or maybe it's going to be, you know, your libido has dropped. Whatever the case may be. When you find out that you're low in testosterone and you start to work with Men's T Clinic, the first thing you're going to get is going to be an increase in energy. The second thing you're going to see is after 2 or 3 months, you're going to start to see a change in your body type. And it's a really awesome feeling when you have Men's T Clinic tightening you up and getting you back to where you need to be, getting you back to living your best life, being your best you. MensTClinic.com. They have 5 locations here in the Houston area. Make sure you stop in at MensTClinic.com.
We had a couple plays there that we wanted to call. We called all 3 or 4 of them, I think, and you know, we felt like we were in good shape there to have a chance to score a touchdown there on the catch by Kenny down at the 2-yard line, and he was a little short of where we thought maybe he would be. So we felt we had another good play there, good low red area play. Just didn't get the right coverage there, and made the decision to kick the field goal.
Bill, did you guys have to kick a field goal right there because you ran out of time?
No. I think that was the strategy of the whole drive.
The strategy on the drive was to kick a field goal?
No, score a touchdown. We felt like we were in good shape there to score a touchdown, and then at the end we didn't get the touchdown, so I decided with 2 seconds left to kick a field goal.
You guys
could have gone for it there and decided to kick the field goal.
Should you have taken a timeout early in that drive?
No, we had 2 plays there and just took a little time getting lined up on the 2 plays, but no, we don't. I think you're talking about Hopkins' catch, and then after that, you know, yeah, we could have taken a timeout, but we had two plays. Took a little longer to get lined up than we thought, and we'll work on that this week.
No, 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 no.
Did he understand?
It didn't matter.
Did he understand the whole question?
Well, listen. He's deflecting. It's a typical Bill O'Brien. You're too stupid to understand me. It's a Bill O'Brien going, oh, wait, I'm going to get lit up. What the hell? What are you guys?
Well, he also didn't want to throw Deshaun in the preseason.
I don't think he understood what he was talking about. First of all, after the Kenny Stills catch, they called a timeout. Kenny Stills ran out of bounds, so it stopped the clock. So it didn't matter how long it took you to line up. Then Deshaun threw an incomplete pass, so it didn't matter how long it took you to line up. There were just 2 seconds left on the clock. What he's talking about, Bill, is this. During the two-minute drive, Deshaun Watson, okay, on third and long, he was able to hit Jordan Akins. And Jordan Akins was able to pick up a first down at midfield. Tick, 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 tick. 24 seconds ticks off before they run their next play. Then they run Carlos Hyde, and he picks up about 6 yards. Mm-hmm. Tick, tick. 28 seconds goes off the clock. Then they hit D-Hop on a slant. He gets the first down. Another 16 seconds runs off the clock. This is all in the final 2 minutes of a freaking drive at the end of the half. So when he hits Kenny Stills...
Wasn't it Akins? Who did he hit right around the 50? That was the first time I thought, okay, call timeout. Yep. You're good. You're at about a minute or whatever it was. This is where you got to call timeout because you got three.
Mm-hmm.
When they didn't call that, and then Deshaun takes forever to get up, and I'm like, oh, my God. I realized, how long was it? 16, 18 seconds had gone off.
So the first one was 24. The next one was 28. Then the last one was 16. Over a minute getting up to the line of scrimmage when you had to kick a field goal on second down with 2 seconds left in the half.
Right.
And Lamont asked a pretty good question. How much of this is on Tim Kelly? Are we forgetting?
I don't know.
John Granato, should this also be on Tim Kelly? Good question. My answer to him was, it's better to shut up, not say a word, than get fired. Because if you disagree or you try to tell Bill O'Brien anything in this organization, you're going to get fired. So it's better to just shut up and not say anything. It's obvious. That's clear. Because if you disagree in any way, shape, or form with Bill O'Brien, you are going to be out. That's how much power this dude has. Everybody who disagrees with him in any way, shape, or form. He has to have, and he's got someone upstairs for his challenges. And his I thought his challenge of the Leonard Fournette first down, I thought that was a really good challenge.
You had to before the two-minute drill, too.
And I don't care what your percentage is. To me, it's a risk-reward thing.
Oh, the game's over.
Yes, the game's over.
The game's over.
That's a risk-reward thing. And if you don't challenge, did you hear during the, well, you didn't because you were there, Doug Marrone is like 67% on his challenges. To me, that's great, and he's the best in the NFL. He challenges, and he wins his challenges. But to me, it's more important is when you challenge. When you challenge and how, you know, what you're challenging and risk-reward on it. So Bill O'Brien, I thought that was a good challenge. He's got someone upstairs who's not very good at challenges because Bill O'Brien is not very good at challenges, period. But his clock management thing, my goodness, you're right, Lamont. Tim Kelly's got to be in his ear going, timeout, timeout, timeout. Guys, let's go. But Deshaun is another one.
Remember when Shane Leckler had to call a timeout or whatever it was as a punter? Like, where's
time
the
out,
coach?
Timeout, timeout.
We want a timeout. I'm almost positive. Like, what? What is happening?
Well, why do you think Shane Leckler didn't make the team the next year?
No, he did make it the next year. But this is really like the clock management thing, just the understanding of enough of us have watched for so many a lot of people listening right now have a general concept, just from seeing it over and over, of what it looks like to call timeouts. And when you have multiple timeouts, if you have two or more, when you get to when you're under a minute to go and you get to around – half, you get to about the 50-yard line, you know you're taking one of your timeouts because, you know, the Saints screwed it up too. The Saints had that same kind of screw-up the week before against the Texans. You really have to do a much better job of managing your ability to, because you did have a chance at a touchdown, but more importantly, you know, you got to give yourself the best chance to get inside your field goal range, and you can't just, and you're a team that, I don't want to get too far ahead, but you're a team that is going to give up some pressure. So you have to prepare accordingly.
See, I went back and watched it last night.
The offensive line was way better.
I thought the offensive line played pretty damn well.
Way better.
And here's the deal. And I thought Deshaun was a lot better getting the ball out on time.
So two of the sacks, or four sacks, right? Not really. Two of the sacks. One was when Deshaun ran out of bounds.
Right.
At which I thought was a half-yard gain. In the press box, they said, gain of zero, that is going to be credited as a sack to somebody. And then the other
one was
on the zone read where he fumbled it and had to jump on it to recover.
They called it a sack.
They called it a sack.
That's a bad.
So they gave up two sacks.
So I would love to have your dad in here on this one too, because the other two sacks were linebackers, and they both, so Jack and Jacobs both come to Roderick Johnson's side on the right, and they're as a lineman, I don't know, but I've heard, is that you got to pick up the guy that's closest so that, you know what, you make the other guy go around you, and that's a longer path to the quarterback. And I thought Roderick Johnson did a pretty damn good job. He picked up Miles Jack coming inside, and Jacobs came around him, and Jacobs, you're blitzing two linebackers, and there's only one Roderick Johnson, who I thought played pretty damn well, by the way. Roderick Johnson looked like he had a good game. He was run blocking well, and other than that, no pressure. And then the other one was another two linebacker blitz, a dog, where a couple of guys come in, and you just had too many guys for the offensive line to block. Mm-hmm. I know the announcer, I don't know who he was, but James Lofton, he said, you know, the offensive line is having a real problem picking up the Jaguars' blitzes. Well, if they've got too many guys, how does the offensive line pick them up? I thought, your dad talked about this, there's some quarterback responsibility on this thing.
If they bring more than you have to block, then that's a quarterback.
That's a quarterback thing. And they brought more than they had to block.
Quarterback and wide receivers. But the Texans brought that on themselves. So the Texans made a decision early on, and I was talking to Patty Smith about it up in the press box. You could tell early on, Bill O'Brien said, okay, A.J. Bouye's out. Here's what we're going to do now. We're going to go a lot of four wide, and we're going to go empty sets with Duke Johnson out. And so we're going to go 4 and 5 out in the...
That's a good idea.
Because now we're going to... Now we're going to put guys on the field that aren't used to playing. We're going to force you. Since you have one corner, you're down one corner, we're going to put your fourth defensive back. It's great in theory. The problem is Jacksonville said, okay, if you're going to do that, we're going to blitz you.
Yeah.
We're going to go a lot of zero pressure, and we're going to guess that your quarterback.
Except they only got to him twice.
Yeah, but they weren't successful.
Right. No.
That's the problem. They weren't successful on offense. And they hit him. John, they got to him. They hit him way more than that.
Listen, if you're a quarterback, you're going to get hit. If you're a quarterback, you're going to get hit. But I thought he got the ball out. I mean, if you go look at for the majority of it, I don't know how they didn't move the ball. They kept making mistakes on every drive, and that's why when you're picking, something is going to screw up, and it's going to screw up the drive.
But the one thing I thought, they made a mistake of trying to go four wide. They got out of what they stopped doing what they tried to exploit rather than doing what they do, which was a Gary Kubiak staple, was, hey, we do what we do. But then he had trouble adjusting when teams shut down what he did. I think Bill O'Brien basically said, we're going to put you in an uncomfortable situation. And the Jaguars go, okay, we're going to put you in one. And we're going to start bringing zero pressure. And we're going to start coming after you. And we'll see if your quarterback can make the quick decisions, which Deshaun is not a quick hit decision maker typically, and he got hit. But more importantly, the Texans weren't successful offensively. Like, they couldn't do anything. They didn't hit over the top. They had one shot, and Will Fuller dropped the ball. It was a tougher catch, but he should have had it, and he dropped that one. But they just didn't take advantage of it. And then they went to a drive where they ran the ball seven straight times and started having some success. And I thought they really made a mistake getting away from the run, because they wanted to exploit Jacksonville. Sometimes you got to do what you do. And I think Carlos Hyde has allowed the Texans to be a little bit of a battering ram at times.
He's looked
awesome. I've been really happy with Carlos Hyde.
An offensive
Who looked better, Carlos Hyde or Leonard Fournette yesterday?
Oh, Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde looks like the better back.
And offensive coordinator said, if you're a quarterback, you're going to get hit unless you're Dak Prescott.
No, there's no question. Yeah. But you also can control how much you get
hit. Well, but I thought he was getting the ball out pretty well on time.
He was.
He was doing a pretty decent. I just can't believe that they couldn't get anything done yesterday because the offensive line played pretty well. They ran the ball pretty well. Deshaun was getting the ball out pretty well.
Where were the chunk plays?
There were no chunk plays.
There were no chunk plays. And that's if they go zero, you got to go over the top and hit them a chunk play. If you watched Atlanta, Philadelphia, Jim Schwartz is having a lot of success against Atlanta. A ton. And then all of a sudden, on a 4th-and-3, they finally figured out, you know what? Let's just throw a little bubble screen. If you're gonna play zero, we're going to throw a bubble screen, and we're going to get Jake Matthews involved, and we're going to have the numbers. And sure enough, they popped a 58-yard touchdown with Julio Jones. It was the Julio difference maker.
Good. All right, 7-3, 7-8-0, 3-7, 7-6. Julio ram-jacked at home.
Yeah, he did.
Didn't he?
I was hoping they'd say that on a broadcast. They didn't. But they should have. Because Ramjack is out here trying to make sure that they protect your home. Sometimes you don't do a very good job of it, and you need someone else to step in and do the job for you, and that's Ramjack. Ramjack has been doing this for over 4 decades, and Ramjack that's the company that you call as the experts to get it done right the first time, so you're not having someone come in 2 different times. And their lifetime transferable warranty, it really does make a difference. I mean, 40 years in the business with patented technology, and they follow this technology, and they follow their course of action every single time so that this warranty does matter, and it does hold up. And there are other companies that won't tell you that it won't hold up when they change their technology or do they change their course of action. Make sure that you call 713-599-0102, 713-599-0102. You know, a lot of people choose to get foundation work done when it starts to cool off in the fall, and you could be that same person if you need to. Don't let your house that is beginning to shift and change and cracks in the walls and gaps in your windows, that isn't going to get better. You've got to get the professionals on it. Do it right the first time. Call Ramjack or go to ramjack.com.
I mean, they did a good job. They held their own. They did what they did. They covered. We made plays downfield. They disrupted some plays. And, it's an in-division game. Those guys, we know exactly what they want to do. And, they start up front, and the front did a good job of playing with a lot of energy. So, give them credit. But at the end of the day, we got the W.
They did. But it reminded us an awfully lot of last year. And it's a win, and the NFL will tell you. And, I mean, the guys will tell you, screw you. We won. It's the NFL. Those guys are tough. They are. But, I mean, there is the with my human eyes, you can see. And I couldn't have been more right when I said that was going to be an up and down, nonstop, hijinks and hilarity, over, whatever. Well, I don't know what the over was, but damn it. I'm sure it hit it. 13-12. Was the under over 23.5 or something? I'm pretty sure it hit the over. But, that they're scrambling and on the verge of losing a football game to the Gardner Minshews is just unbelievable. It's just with no left tackle, no quarterback, no left defensive end, no corner.
Is it unbelievable, though?
It really is not.
No, it's not unbelievable.
But I thought this year was going to be different.
Why did you think it was going to be different?
We got to go for it. Trade away all the picks. This is the window. Andrew Luck died. Everyone's like, Andrew Luck died. We got to go for it. This is never a go for it team, you dummies. Never. Why? This wasn't a go for it team. How does a go for it look now? How does that look? It's not a go for it team. You can barely beat Gardner Minshew.
When the quarterback's the same, not the quarterback, when the coach is the same, when the defensive coordinator's the same, why would it cross anyone's mind that this is going to be different this year? They're the same squad. This is the same squad from last year, and what we saw against the Saints was the same squad we saw in 2017.
With a better tackle. By the way, did he get back in the game? Did Tunsil get back in? When he was walking off, all I could see is a meme with three players walking off, first and a second, walking off the field with them.
Do you know how thrilled? See, I don't normally root against the Texans. It's more like, whatever, if they win, they win. Now, there's like a rooting interest for them. I was like, come on, Leonard Fournette.
Because of the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Come on. I'm looking for two top five picks. You're like a rock. Let's go.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't think about that. You're the worst.
You are the worst person.
I am the worst this year.
But they were not a go-for-it team this year. And people who said that, I mean, look at them. They're not a go-for-it team. One left tackle's not going to make that big a difference. It doesn't make as big a – that's why it's not a priority. It's a priority, but the NFL will tell you, the studies show you that right tackle is as big a priority now as left tackle.
But by the way, him with that injury – I was like, oh my, this is why you don't give up three picks for one guy, especially two firsts and a second, because if he's hurt, you just lost three players.
Mm-hmm.
You just lost three players. And thank God it's not serious. And you know what? Big ups to Laramie Tunsil going into the locker room saying, no, I'm fine. I'm coming back out.
So he did make it back out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No, he played. He played down the
I jumped in the car.
Played on that last drive.
At the end, I jumped in the car because I'm not getting stuck in that traffic again. And, so I'm listening at the very end, and I don't know if Laramie had made it. They didn't talk about it.
He made it back. All right, 713-780-3776.
Hey, any reactions that you guys have to the game?
Yep.
And we'll get to other stuff, but for right now, let's stick on Texan 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Brian is first up. What's up, Brian? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing this morning?
You're good.
I just want to let you know that I did everything I could, front row behind the Texans bench. This is the fourth end of a four-team parlay for $2,000. And I'm sitting behind the bench telling him, time out, time out. And eventually I said, excuse me, Bill, time out, Bill. Bill, we need a time out. And he just kept going and kept going and kept going. And I couldn't figure it out for the life of me. And everybody back there was yelling at him. And as he was coming in, I asked him, I said, Bill, any plans for the timeout at half? Anything we don't know about? And I didn't get an answer. But still, yeah, that was the fourth team. Astros, you know, Yordan went yard on Saturday night to cover, and then that was the last one I needed. And he just decided.
Did you have Texans? Did you have Texans money line, or did you have Texans minus the points?
Had to be minus.
Texans first half 5.5.
Oh my God! And he won't call a timeout. Oh my God!
I tried to help him. I did, and I was very polite. I did say excuse me. I tried to use that because maybe that's what Bill responds to. I wasn't sure. That was it. I had the Patriots 12 points, and they just covered. So I'm watching the Texans game, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. And I just walked out. I couldn't do it. So I just left.
Excuse me, Bill. Can you call a bleeping timeout? Oh my God! That's a sad story, Brian. That is a sad.
I know it is. But it's life. It's okay. It goes on. I won't make that mistake again.
Yep.
You know, you live and you learn.
All right. Thanks, Brian. We appreciate it. Del, do you want to tell some of your gambling stories this weekend?
I want everyone to refer to me as at Del Bo Knows. I mean, Del O Knows.
Is it Jerry?
Del O
Jerry Bo Knows.
Is Jerry Bo Knows me?
Del O Knows.
I'm gonna be the guest host with him and Josh on Moneyline at Del O Knows.
How about this? He can't stand Fantasy Guy.
It's annoying.
Or anyone who talks about golf and he comes in and he's telling me every one of his bets from this weekend.
Yeah, because when I use my bookie, which you'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah.
I use my bookie for the first time and go 6-2.
6-2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna tell you all about it. Yeah.
So you don't even need this job anymore.
No, I was only playing for lunch money.
Oh, you ain't throwing it around.
No, not on my first go round.
Did you? Yeah, they matched up to your initial deposit, right?
But I had already signed in. Whatever, it's complicated. So just let's just say it's not happening for me that way.
It's complicated. I get it.
It's complicated. But 6-2. UCF versus Stanford first half, stealing money.
Okay, again. Okay, maybe you can tweet out your pick so we don't have to hear them
Jerry
all again.
Does that.
Okay.
Jerry takes the Jerry social does. Media and I will just Listen, use this show to tell people about my
you
picks.
You got to put the fire emoji, okay?
I know.
Jerry likes the fire
that
emoji. Hey, Jerry made me some money now.
I know you.
He DM'd me and said, here, bet this, the over on the Leverkusen and...
Bayern Leverkusen?
I have no idea.
Whatever it was.
I was like, whatever, Jerry. And I did it. And sure enough, it won. And it hit with like 30 seconds to play.
All I'm saying is, if you're looking for great first half lines, if you're looking for winners on first half lines, tweet at Del O'Knows. That's with the Z. And I got you covered.
All right, you got to charge for these.
Hold on. You're giving your picks Friday at Prime Social.
No, I'm not.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I'm just saying.
Jerry Bell gives out picks.
Yeah.
Del O gives
and
out
And he
picks.
Also gives out his special picks, and they pay him for it. So
who does?
Start
a Patreon.
No, that's what he does.
That's what he does.
Start a Patreon account, Del.
I don't have the reputation yet. I need to keep winning games.
Well, let's see you winning games. Well, and we got to take your word for that 6-2, by the way.
Yeah. I'll show you. Well, they don't even keep track.
You know who he's become?
Give your winnings.
Let me tell you about the hand I had in poker, guy.
If I can find... Yeah, yeah.
Here's my fantasy.
Here's
my
guy. Does my bookie keep, like, show you what you want, the games you won?
Well, yeah. It shows your history.
Yeah, you got
all
your
right, I'll show it to you.
Weekly history.
All right.
Let's get Manny in here. Honey, yes, he wants to talk about Daryl Morey. Hey, Manny.
Hey, I don't understand the I don't understand why we were talking about Rack. I mean, yeah, you get, you know, the defense gave up a drive in the last 2 minutes of the game to possibly win the game. But for all of that 2 minutes of the game, they held the Jaguars to 6 points. They held the Jaguars to 6 points. They shut down a rookie QB. They're playing really well. And you know, this is the NFL. A team's going to have a drive at some point during the game.
Well, the Texans do it, apparently. Now, listen, and I said this on Twitter. Oh, this is not on the defense. Dude, NFL games are close. And every close NFL game, the Texans give up a last-minute drive. And you can't. You got to stop doing that. You got to be able to finish. And if it could, and if it took 6 points for them to win, then it took 6 points. Because in the last game, it took 30 when they didn't play all that well. You know, it's not about how many points they gave up. It's when they give them up. If it's a close game at the end, they've got to come up with a stop.
Manny, you know the deal. You watch. You're a big Rocket fan.
Yeah, I can't argue that. That's true. But my point being is, we've got King Sills. We picked up Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde. You know, the upcoming young tight ends that were supposed to be, you know, difference makers this season. You have Deshaun Watson at quarterback. You went and traded for Larry Sundell. 13 points is not acceptable for this offense.
No,
it's because who's in charge of the offense?
Well,
Deshaun,
I think we
and
know.
Bill O'Brien.
Well,
your quarterback and your look. We can't just decide. Well, by your logic, who was in charge of it was Rick Smith, Brian Gaine, and whoever the general manager was, because they're in charge of games. But because Manny only. By the way, that's a little hypocritical. That hey, guys, Romeo, this stuff doesn't really matter with Romeo. Because for the first this many minutes, he did this. So at the end of the game,
no.
Isn't that kind of like when you give no credence to regular season wins for the Rockets? They don't matter to you. What only matters is how you do against Golden State.
Well, Rockets have gotten to a point where the regular season should matter anymore. Because if they're championship or bust,
you have yeah, it matters. But regular season,
it matters. It matters. But
no, you have to be clear. Performance. It's you can't ignore it.
No, I get what you're saying, but with the Rockets particularly. We understand you are a good basketball team.
Right.
We want you to be great.
They're trying to find a way.
Well,
to,
but
improve,
this is this
but
is
different. It's
this
different.
Isn't unlike missing 27 straight shots or totally falling apart when Kevin Durant is not there. Or you know what? You got to play. You got to be clutch.
You got to step up.
You
got to
be clutch.
And they won yesterday, but the problem is you can't. If you gave up so few points to Jacksonville Jaguars before that point, then don't give up. Fourth downs, and don't give up long third down conversions or on second down because they got it on second down a lot. Don't give up a touchdown at the end of the game. Don't do it. And Romeo Crennel has a hard time stopping it. But Bill O'Brien and his offense, you know, that is not enough points.
No, it's not enough points. Especially when they don't have their best pass rusher or their second best corner.
Look, that was one of the really difficult games to watch yesterday.
Yeah, oh, my God.
It really was. And when I got home, I was like,
Chargers-Lions.
Thank goodness. Yeah, that was a really hard one, too, I would imagine. But when I got home, I knew, all right, I'll have the AC cranked up because I'd been monitoring Gritty. This is what I do. I monitor the Gritty. Once you get the Gritty app, you'll know exactly what I mean. It's completely addictive because you can monitor exactly what the real-time temperature is through your app. And if you have a Nest or a Honeywell where you can automatically set it through your where it's either a smart thermostat or you can set it through your phone, you can actually tie up your Gritty account with your Nest, for example, and anytime a price spikes above a certain number, your Nest will turn up where all of your AC goes completely off, and it's a great way to save money. But you get wholesale electricity with unlimited wholesale electricity for just $10 a month. That's what Gritty offers you, a chance to get wholesale electricity unlimited with no contract. And if you're not completely satisfied, you can switch. And there's no hidden fees. There's no markups. There's just big savings. And if you want to download the app, even if you're not using them currently, you can monitor prices for yourself. Gritty is the first wholesale electric provider in Texas, and they want you to come aboard and take advantage of the savings, over $470 for the average customer. And that's what you're looking at. Just text Lance to 797979. That's Lance to 7979 to start your saving. Text Lance to 797979. Message and data rates may apply. It's Gritty.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. Open line. So
yeah, let's go. Let's go, Texans fans. 713-780-3776. The offensive line keeps opening some holes, doing a pretty good job. But maybe more importantly than anything to me is that I really like the way Carlos Hyde and Duke ran a lot tougher this last game. I thought Duke had a little.
I think he's like, I better run hard if I'm going to get any carries around here. Because Carlos Hyde is looking good.
Well, Carlos is going to be a hammerhead. I mean, he's going to run very physically. But Duke Johnson, I thought, had some physical finishes. I was happy with that. I thought Duke, that little 1-2 was a nice little 1-2. I don't miss Lamar Miller one single solitary bit.
No.
This is what it means to have a replacement back.
No.
When I say replacement level player, Lamar Miller is what I'm talking about, where you don't miss him if they're replaced by another guy of that it's easy to find a replacement.
No, Carlos Hyde looks really good. No, Skates Miller has been that they gave him all that money and that they were running it and they thought that he was he's a guy.
It was $5 million. He's it a wasn't
guy.
A bad.
No, but he's just a guy. He's just a guy. I mean, and like you said, time and again, you can find running backs. You know, when they found running back, capable guys are taken. Not only capable, I think they're better than Lamar Miller, and they found him right before the season started. Right before, I mean, okay, there's guys out there on the street. So, yeah, your theory on running backs is obviously, I mean, it's the NFL's theory.
Yeah.
It's pretty accurate. You can find guys to run the football.
You really
and
can.
They've done that. I really like, man, I want to tell you this, though. I will say this. They needed to do something about Chantrell Henderson, and they didn't waste any time. We've seen, but we don't make knee-jerk decisions, Bill O'Brien has told us. Well, you know, the first half, Brian Hoyer is in there, or Tom Savage is in there, and you got to pull first half of the first game, you pull him for Deshaun Watson. Well, maybe that was a little bit knee-jerk decision because you were like, oh, we ain't doing this no more. But they saw Chantrell Henderson one game and said, you know what, dude, we tried to give you this, but you screwed it up. We're going with Roderick Johnson. We thought he had a good camp. We're going to put him in there, and let's see if he's any better than you are. And you know what? He was.
Now, Bill O'Brien's not afraid to put you after one game. Ask Hoyer when he got the one game. When he got the one game pull, and they had to go back to him later in the year, and he played pretty well after that. But Chantrell had played 8 games headed into this year. Now it's 9 games, and he got 9 games over 3 years, and then he ends up getting benched. But he stunk. And one of the problems he had that my dad talked about, I think he talked a little on the air. He talked a lot off the air. Was that Chantrell was just missing twists. And if you mentally don't see it coming, teams are going to game you into, if you don't have the FBI, the football intelligence, to recognize certain stuff, you're going to get your quarterback pummeled. So I thought that was interesting that he made that switch after one game.
One game.
I actually respect it, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? You see Kiki. Sorry, Kiki, but guess what? Kenny Stills is the guy. Kiki QT might get a couple of balls a game. We can't count on you. Kenny Stills is here, and Kenny Stills is making some plays. And it looks like he and Deshaun have a little bit of they seem to like each other, and they seem to be able to that Deshaun likes to throw to him. They were on the same page on one play, but I think that's going to be a nice relationship going forward. They saw Will Fuller have a mismatch because AJ Bouye wasn't there, so they picked on the guy. I thought, I just don't get how they didn't move. I don't get it, how they didn't score more points because they didn't play all that poorly. They just made dumb mistakes at dumb times.
They couldn't get into any kind of
rhythm. Well, and the big play thing is another thing. They had one play to Will Fuller that was a long play, and then the Kenny Stills at the end of the half. Other than that, what did they do? What kind of – I don't know that they had a gain that was – did they have one 40-yard gain?
No.
And, oh, by the way, Jalen Ramsey and his temper flare. It was another drop by D-Hop. It was a drop. He did not catch that ball. By the way, whoever was the guy Mike Pereira, was it Mike? No, it wasn't Mike Pereira. It was Gene Steratore. I thought Gene Steratore had himself a poor game. He said afterwards, I don't think that would have been overturned. That ball clearly hit the ground. Jalen Ramsey was dead on that they should have challenged that. And that was a third down, and the Texans would have had to punt. Instead, they went down and scored the field goal. And Jalen Ramsey was pissed, and he had that flare up with Fred Fowler on the sideline. And
Fred Fowler, Doug Marrone. I forgot you just called him Fred Fowler. I'm like, no, you just called Doug Marrone Fred Fowler. Oh, that's right, you did call him Fred Fowler.
So Jalen Ramsey was right. So that's another one. Now that was a drop. That's just a flat drop it wasn't called. He gets a catch for it. But, D-Hop, he's got unbelievable. He's got one of some of the best hands we've ever seen in the NFL. And this is now starting to get a little bit, I don't want to say scary, but he's got to hold on to those balls.
Yeah, he's fine.
Hopefully. I mean, he dropped a couple in the Saints game.
That was a catch.
No, it wasn't really.
Was it?
Not if Fred Fowler actually listens.
What I saw was a catch. They called it a catch, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Jalen Ramsey should have punched him right in the face as he's walking.
You think Jalen Ramsey should have punched Fred Fowler in the face?
Yes.
That's what you're asking
right
for?
In the face.
He probably will at some point. Just give it time.
Well, I'm sure he will. He almost did, and Fred Fowler came over.
So after the...
If Doug Marrone puts on a black turtleneck, would he not be Fred Fowler?
You know what's interesting? There's some similarities. You know what's interesting, though, is Jalen Ramsey didn't talk, which is extremely strange because he talked all the time.
Yeah.
It's in his best interest not to after all the Antonio Brown stuff because people are not going to want to trade for him. I think he wants out of there, and he does not want to cause a public commotion, but I think there's going to be plenty of private commotions with Jalen Ramsey. But just like we talked about with him, this is a team that is already starting to implode. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much for them. But they're also so hurt all the time. I mean, when I was listening to their inactive list, it's like, holy crap, Cam Robinson, AJ Bouye, wide receivers. They got just so many players inactive. It was crazy. That's why I figured the Texans would get into the 20s. I figured they would get into the 20s, that shouldn't be hard to get to for between 21 and 24. I didn't think it was going to be a high-scoring game.
I did, and I was dead on. I couldn't have been more right about all that. Up and down the field, nonstop. Hijinks and hilarity. Love that game. That was a fun... I mean, you want to talk about... Now, LSU, Texas, that was okay.
Yes.
Saints and Texans, that game yesterday...
That's what you're like. That's what you want.
You want to talk about
Texas
something.
Texas know what to do, too. Look, I know we've been... football's back in Houston. The games matter again. You know, we like to entertain you people when you come to our
talk
games.
About entertaining. Wow. All right. 713-780-3776. I got to talk about my hair. Speaking of Fred Fowler, Fred and I both did this. And I got to tell you, it is really awesome. You know, my wife, she checks it. Hey, let me see the back of your head. Let me see that 9-iron divot's going to be gone. It's looking good. And I went back and I saw Dr. Linville, and he's so good. He was like, this is going to come in really nice. And so about 6-7 months from now, I'm going to have, hair in the, I haven't had hair in the back for 20 years. I started going bald when I was younger, and it was, and you just live with it. It's a 9-iron out of the back of your head. No, Don't have to, because, and it's not a hair plug. It's NeoGraft. It's not as painful as it. I'm telling you, it was absolutely, it was an easy experience. I got to tell you, I really, really enjoyed the experience with the doc and his whole team. It is unbelievable. How about a free consultation? You normally $150. You get a free consultation right now at 975hair.com. You're looking to get hair again? Is 975hair.com. Tell Doc Linville and everybody over there, you heard it right here.